now I'm going to hand over to Father Pat O'Brien. Thank you.
Good afternoon to you all. It's always nice to be here. I'm in the shadow of a place I worked for years, Clare Island, just over there, and talking about the famine, the population of Clare Island in 10 years from 1841 to 1851 went from like 1,800 people to 600 people. Over the past few years, I've spent an awful lot of time in a nursing home where my mother is among the people staying there. I've come to feel very much part of the healing, sort of loving, caring atmosphere of the place. The fresh air, the country roads, the flowers in the area. The people from there, from my mother's generation and older people, are very much part of the history of this country. There are people who knew the War of Independence, who knew the Civil War. There are people who knew the world at war, the new two world wars. They're part of a world, 20th century, that in its steps was a century of war and of violence and of hatred. During the period of the Iraq War, I noticed very quietly among pretty much all of the people there, and you're talking about old people, very, very sick people, people who mostly would seem at first glance to be outside the world, but I saw a dramatic and huge and a frightening change in the old people there. There was a withdrawal into themselves. There was an inability to watch television news at night. There was a deep, deep fear among a huge number of them that the whole thing was going to reach out in some way and destroy what was left of their life. There was a huge, deep, deep unease and a huge change in the atmosphere there. It's one of the quiet things that happen in a world that has war at its heart and at its centre. The effect it had on people that you wouldn't expect to have. It literally changed and helped again eat into their lives and eat into their humanity and eat into their hope of just living easeful last days on earth. A small part of that. And you tried in some way to ease their, to gentle their spirit. You tried in some way to tell maybe half lies to them, that it wasn't going to affect this country or them. But you realize suddenly that their fears had more truth than the lies of our politicians, that their fear had more honesty and truth than the lies and the half-truths and the pretenses that we were getting from Ahern and that we were getting from Harney at that time. So in some way, this year anyway, I'm taking part in this walk pretty much on their behalf. And on behalf in some way of all the people in the world who are very afraid at the moment. All the people who are afraid and of a world that reveals itself again as a world that depends utterly on war as a way of deciding itself. I'm speaking on behalf then of all the innocent victims of Saddam Hussein and all the innocent victims of George Bush. And not just the victims of their bombs and their chemical weapons and their torture chambers. Their torture chambers too. I think of the House of Americas, the Universities of America, where the torturers and the murderers and the assassins of South America are trained within America. The awful lies of Hussein in his own long history as a tyrant, and all the lies that supported him and supported him both in America and in Ireland when he was financially useful and militarily useful to them. The lies that lie behind all the claims to the Freedom War, when we know the reasons, the not-so-secret plans for a new neocon American world. We're surrounded by an untruthful world, a cynical game of power and wealth and new empire building. So we're speaking on behalf of all those, we're marching for all those, and we're with all those. And people wonder why people have no longer any interest in conventional politics. I'd like to suggest that maybe the perfect democratic election in the near future in this country might be in which no one votes at all. No one votes at all. In which we say very simply, We do not believe you. We do not believe you about anything. Who do you really represent? Your people, or the arms manufacturers, or the corporations, or the oil money, or the nuclear industry, or other powers elsewhere? Can we dare imagine, and I think a walk like this can help, can we dare imagine a better world, a different world? A world maybe in which Europe, experienced in war and the horrors of war, might declare itself free of all arms and all manufacturing and all support of arms. Not to become a new empire, not to become a new armed empire, but in some way, unimaginable way maybe, an empire or a civilization of some sort of justice and peace and love and justice and simplicity. That we bake bread for the hungry rather than bombs which inevitably will fall on the hungry of the world. That is why in some way the walk today is so important. The hungry took to this road. The road and the world they walked in isn't significantly different from the world we're in today. The names of the empires have changed, but in the immortal words of Yeats, the lash goes on. Over the years, this walk has gathered together people from many people, places in the world. It has again today, people on this platform and also people down here representing East Timor, Philippines, many other places in the world. This walk says simply that we can imagine a place where the poor of the world and those who love the poor of the world can stand together and walk together and can say simply, give us back our world, give us back our food, give us back our earth, give us back our future.